Today's episode of the podcast is sponsored by Dr. Carlo Bayraktarian.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is Der Narek from St. Sarkis Church with a new episode of the podcast. As we do every week, let us start our program and our day with a prayer from the prayers of the Armenian Church. Bahaban amenaini Christos, ach kohovani litsi ivera im. Իդվեևի քշերի ինստիլիդան իկնալի ճանաբար իննչել եւ իհարնել զիմի երբեք սասանեցայց եւ ողորմիա քո արարածոց եւ ինձ բազմամեղիս Christ, the guardian of all creatures, let your right hand be a shadow over me day and night, tarrying at home and traveling, sleeping and rising, that I may never fail. Have mercy upon your creatures and upon me, great sinner that I am. This prayer is from Saint Nerses, the gracious Saint Nerses Shnorhali. And the reason that I said this prayer today is because this is a very special prayer, not only to me personally, but to so many people in the Armenian community. So last week I was officiating a funeral service. And then at the end of the service, a parishioner approached me. He said, I have a question, Derhair. And I said, sure. And he was like, there's this prayer that my mom used to say to me before me going to sleep when I was a kid. It started something like, Bahaban amenaini. Where can I get that prayer? And I said, okay, that's easy. And fortunately, I had a copy of Havodov Hostovanim on me, and I gave that book to him, and I showed that chapter 15 of that prayer is Bahaban Amenaini. So it sounds like a lot of Armenians love that prayer. I have my unique story with that prayer also. When I was a kid, one night I was feeling scared, I was having nightmares, and then when I ran to my mom as a scared little boy, she told me this prayer, and since then, this prayer has been my nightly prayer, and this is something that I teach my kids. We pray this together every night. So this is a personal prayer, and I encourage my listeners to make sure that they are familiar with the prayers of our church and make the habit of saying those prayers, because they are an integral part of our spirituality. A lot of good things are happening in our community. We are enjoying our summer. And this Sunday, we are going to have a very unique and special service. You all remember that a few weeks ago, the Holy Muron was blessed in Antelias, Lebanon. This was a very unique celebration as the Armenian Church and our nation is observing the 100th anniversary of the genocide. So the blessing of Muron was dedicated to the centennial. Now the Muron is blessed and it will arrive to our churches this week. And we are instructed by the Armenian prelacy to have a unique service of blessing of water with this new Holy Muron. So this Sunday we will have this service, which will be officiated by His Grace Bishop Anushavan Tanyelian. So to my listeners, make sure that you come here to enjoy this service and also to take with you the blessed water with the new Muron, with the hope that it will bring blessing to your households. I would like to remind that on the following Sunday, August 16, we are celebrating the feast of the Assumption of the Holy Virgin Mary. Now, we'll talk about the feast probably next week, but The popular meaning of this feast is that we do two things. One, we bless the grapes, and a lot of people know this feast as the time where grapes are blessed, Chagornek. And also, we have started a tradition for the past 10 years of blessing Madag, Harissa. So these two things will take place on August 16th. And the final big event for this summer is the youth retreat that our church is organizing. Some of you saw the flyers that were included in the bulletin last week. It's on Facebook and it's on the social media. And we are taking registrations now. I'm happy to report that there's a good number of people who registered already, and the space is limited. So this is a youth retreat for youngsters ages 12 through 18, and we are going to the Seminary of the Immaculate Conception in Huntington, New York. Now, I went there, and it's a beautiful place. It's very well maintained. When I was doing the tour, I told the lady who was helping me, this place really smells like seminary. What I meant by that is that I remembered my days of seminary. Now, don't be scared. We're not going to try to make priests out of you, those who are considering to come. We are actually trying to plan the events in a way that 50% of the time, you will have fun. You will be with your friends. You will hang out. There are recreational activities. There will be a campfire at night. So the social aspect is there. But the other 50% of the time, there will be some serious work that we are going to do. So it will be an educational, a spiritual, and a fun event. If you haven't registered yet, make sure that you get online, fill out that registration, and make sure that you will be part of this very unique event before the summer is over. My guest today is Ida Zilelian. She is the author of Legacy of Lost Things. Ida, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. Please introduce yourself to our listeners.
I'm a writer, and this is my debut novel, The Legacy of Lost Things, and it was released in March of 2015, and it was also awarded the Tololian Literary Prize in May of 2014 before it was even published, so it's even more exciting than it is. I've been on a book tour for a while now, so that's been also a very interesting journey in writing this novel.
Excellent. Is this your first project?
I've written other novels. I have a short story collection, and I have a novel preceding this one that is connected to this one that is more of a young adult, but this is the first one that was published.
When did you start writing?
I started writing in high school, and then I stopped for a while because I became very involved with music. I started playing piano and guitar. I toured all over the New York City area, and I did that. And then after a while, that sort of faded, and I went back to writing after I got my master's in creative writing. So it really started aggressively and in a focused way about 8 years ago.
What happened 8 years ago?
I was already a New York City teacher, but I teach literature, and my love for literature became a personal focus for me, where I decided to take my writing more seriously, and I started having my short stories published. And from there, I moved on to writing a larger piece of work, which is this.
How long ago did you start writing The Legacy of Lost Things?
It took me about a year to write. I had taken off a year to be home with my daughter, Sophia. So while I was home with her, I wrote it. It took a year. And then within a few short months, I was very fortunate in having a publisher pick it up. And I signed a publishing contract shortly after.
It's not easy to have a book published nowadays.
No. It's very hard. You can go through the small presses. And if you have a small press, you don't need a literary agent. But if you want to go through the big publishing houses, you need an agent. So there you go through the process of finding someone to represent you. And then they have to shop for your book.
Is that what you did?
I didn't. I went through a small and very new press, but they really believe in passionate writers and they believe in supporting us, which is why I even have a publicist, which is very difficult for a publisher to give a writer. So that's been also a wonderful experience.
The Legacy of Lost Things, the title itself is kind of, there's a paradox in it. lost things shouldn't have a legacy because they're lost.
Well, every character in this story loses something. Every person in the family loses something, and therefore that becomes a legacy, and they're trying to get back whatever it is that they lost and they can't seem to, or they struggle to.
Can you tell us the synopsis of the book? Because I don't want my listeners not to buy this book. I want them to buy this book, but I want also to have a synopsis of what is this novel all about.
Sure. So this is about an Armenian family who moves to Sunnyside, Queens in 1976 and tries to assimilate to American culture. And unfortunately, the two people who marry in this book should not have gotten married. They continue to have two girls, and one of them runs away. So it really is about the search for their daughter, but it is also about the search for their broken marriage. And all of that also is connected to the idea of assimilating and how difficult that was for them. So that is the overall idea of the novel. I won't give anything else away.
Excellent. It's a struggle that, you know, not every families, we don't see children running away, but we see a lot of family struggles. Do you think, you know, a person who is going through some sort of difficulties in their marriage and their family would identify themselves with your writing?
Absolutely. I think anyone who's an immigrant is going to relate to it. Anybody who is struggling to assimilate, and even teenagers can relate to it because of the perspective of the girl. But I think, yes, that struggle of assimilating and how alone it could make a person feel. Each character in this story feels alone for their own personal reason. And they have a very hard time connecting with each other, yet they're a family. So that is the irony of it.
Is there catharsis in this novel?
Inevitably, there will be for some. In some ways, some characters never do such things that they can never redeem themselves. They're all looking for redemption for the things that they've done.
Sounds very interesting.
Thank you.
I'm enticed to read it now.
I hope you do.
How was this book received? Tell me about the reception of this book.
We had, they threw me a huge book release party, which was really lovely when it first came out. And now I'm doing a book tour, and it's being received beautifully. I can't believe how much fun it's been to go. I was in D.C. That was wonderful. I'm going to be in Rhode Island this Thursday. Thursday evening, I'll be in Warwick at the Barnes & Noble. Next week, I will be in Boston for 2 days. And then I have 2 dates, one in September and one in October. And it's all on my website. So it's being received very well. The AGBU also just secured a date for me for September 24th. They're holding a huge event for me in the city, which is very exciting.
That is exciting.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about your future projects?
Right now, I'm working on a book that is very, it is about the genocide. It is a genocide book.
It is.
But this is about the search of a young woman who was only a quarter Armenian to find out what happened to the family that they never heard from again in Kharpet, Armenia. So it's not just genocide, it's still fiction. And it's about her search for her identity, because again, she can't relate to her culture, yet somehow she finds herself really, really wondering what happened and goes on this search for her family. And if they survived.
Sure.
Yeah.
Ida, who have been your influences? I read in the opening pages of your book, Barış Sevak. Are there any Armenian or non-Armenian people, writers, who have influenced you?
Well, William Saroyan's humor really influenced me, because I don't know why, but I've been drawn to much more dark literature. I am just... J.D. Salinger isn't very dark, but I love J.D. Salinger. David Sedaris is very funny. I like him. Sylvia Plath is very dark. I love her. But William Saroyan's lightness and levity, I've been influenced by very much.
Excellent. This is a novel, and you said that your upcoming project is also a novel. But I'm assuming, as a writer, when you decide even to write a fiction, a novel, you're making yourself vulnerable. Because you're exposing your soul. How do you take that?
You know, it's kind of like diving in a swimming pool and knowing that you can't swim and hoping you figure it out once you hit the water. You can't think about it too much. Because if I did, I would not write it, especially this piece. This is very personal. And I was saying in another interview, the best way to describe it is, you know those movies you see that are so hard to watch? It's the first time you've seen it. Maybe, I don't know, Schindler's List, for example, or The Deer Hunter, and you go through it, and at the end, you say, that was great, but I'm never watching it again. That's what it was writing this. I never want to write. Thank God I wrote it, because I don't want to write it again. It was very hard to write.
Sounds like you've paid your dues.
I have.
Excellent. Ida, before I let you go, as a writer and as a teacher, what is your message to our listeners today?
My book does not just appeal to Armenians. My book appeals to teenagers and those of any culture, those who have been immigrants, who have had to assimilate, and those who are simply interested in the immigrant experience. And I truly hope you enjoy it. Please pick up a copy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Let's do the Bible reading and reflection now. This is something that we do every week here on the podcast. The reading today is from the first epistle of St. Paul to Timothy, chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The Word of God. I love these words, not only because they come from my favorite saint, St. Paul, but also because in this passage we hear a self-reflection. Paul is revealing a lot about himself. He is writing this letter to his disciple, to Timothy. By the way, our sermon last Sunday was from this letter again. And he is trying to teach him the sound theological information that he needs in his ministry. And he wants also Timothy to learn from the experience, the personal experience of St. Paul. And in these few verses, we read that self-reflection, that how he is thankful that God made him trustworthy and appointed him in his service. Paul never forgets who he was. As we read, he remembers how he was a blasphemer, a violent man, but those days were over. Because Paul had a radical change in his life. And he focuses on the present, on the grace that God had given him in the service of the church. When I read these words, I want us also to reflect that sometimes our past is pretty important. But what counts is the present, is the here and now. What God wants you to do here and now. Open your heart. Open your minds. Because God can change you, can wash away all the sadness and the violence and all the bad things that happened in the past, and can make you the person who will not only experience a change in your personal life, but you will be a blessing in the life of your family and your community. The hymn today is called Marmin Derunagan. This is a hymn from our Divine Liturgy, from the celebration of Badarak in the Armenian Church. What you will hear today is the Gomidasyan version of this hymn. I hope you will enjoy it. I will be back next week with a new episode of the podcast. I hear that it's going to be the 50th episode, and my producer is preparing something special for that. So I thank our sponsors, I thank all my listeners, and I thank my producer, Mr. Greg Doster. I pray that the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ will always be in your hearts. Amen.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Dr. Carlo Bayraktarian. If you'd like to sponsor future episodes, please contact the St. Sarkis Church office at 718-224-2275.